Welcome to A World Powerfully Transformed, a new podcast from Unity on Cape Cod. We are creating community, celebrating love, and transforming lives. In this special series, we will bring you exciting, positive spiritual teachings, as well as thought-provoking interviews with guests from a diverse spectrum of the greater community. Now let us join Reverend Tony for this week's presentation.
Welcome to the Unity on Cape Cod podcast. I'm Reverend Tony Cryer, the spiritual leader here at Unity on Cape Cod. We are part of Unity Worldwide Ministries, which has a vision of a world powerfully transformed by the growing movement of our shared spiritual awakening. Each week, I will be bringing you special guests, and we'll be talking about current issues and topics that are impacting our lives and how we can take a spiritual approach to transforming our world. So welcome. Come on in. All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to A World Powerfully Transformed. We're so grateful to be starting a new series called God and Nature. And today we have a very special guest, and her name is Susan Starkey. She's the co-chair of Faith Communities Environmental Network here on Cape Cod, FCEN, which has the parent organization, the Cape Cod Climate Collaborative. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you so much, Reverend Tony.
We're so grateful that you're here today. And just briefly, what is the FCEN?
Yes, so the Faith Communities Environmental Network has been around since 2017, and we are a network of as many faith communities from as many traditions as are interested in helping to protect the planet.
Awesome. That's incredible. And so how many organizations are connected to FCEN right now?
Yeah, we've grown from two to now we have 35.
35. And who are some of those places?
Yeah, we have Amyayam Synagogue in Orleans, as well as all the UUs, or Unitarian Universalists, on Cape Cod. We have Unity of Hyannis right here.
Yes.
We have seven, I think, different Episcopal parishes, as well as quite a number of UCC, or United Church of Christ, or related, and a number of interfaith groups like Nauset Interfaith Power and Nauset Interfaith Group and Temple of Understanding. Boy, you name it, we're really widespread.
Wow, that's awesome. That is incredible inclusion. I just love it. And diversity. And it's all based on helping to protect our planet, our earthly home. We're very interested in that here at Unity on Cape Cod. We're actually a certified Earth Care Covenant with Unity Worldwide Ministries. And I'd love to read for you our covenant here at Unity on Cape Cod. Acknowledging that all of creation is connected, we as a sacred community are committed to being responsible stewards of our earthly home. We affirm that we hold a deep respect for all life and a sincere reverence for the interdependent web of all that is. We envision a world where all beings are supported in living their lives for which they were created. We live in gratitude and appreciation while working to bring awareness to others. Let us join together as we mindfully support the well-being and protection of Cape Cod's natural environment and the world beyond. We declare our covenant with God to walk lightly upon this beautiful earth as we hold this vision for the greatest good of all creation.
That is beautiful. I especially like the interconnected web of life from the Unitarian Universalist perspective. But also a lot of what you said fits with plenty of our Quaker members as well.
That's awesome. So, Susan, one of the reasons that I'm so happy you're here today is I get to learn a little more about the FCEN and how to be involved with it. You've told me how long you've been around and that we have quite a few organizations connected. What is your vision?
Yes.
Mission and purpose?
Terrific. Thank you for asking that. We have a vision that all faiths are working together to protect the environment with eco-justice on Cape Cod and the islands, the sacred Wampanoag homeland. With that vision, our mission is to be a community of diverse faith traditions networking together to advance the environment and eco-justice, which I'll define in a minute. But what we do that through is advocating, learning together, and building a diverse community that inspires hope and action to protect the interdependent web of life.
Wow.
So I say eco-justice in there, and the definition.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I see that a lot, and I was wondering if you could elaborate on what eco-justice is.
Yes. It was interesting. This past summer, 2020, our leadership council was wanting to update our mission and vision because we're so much more aware this year than ever before of the need for racial justice in all we do. So there could be no climate justice without racial justice. There could be no racial justice without climate justice. Social justice, economic, everything is interdependent. But we are working primarily on the environment. So we learned of the term eco-justice to help us with that. And on July 31st, when we were working on this, was the exact same day that a Denver-based eco-justice minister was retiring. I lived in Denver for many, many years, so I was happy to pick up his mantle in a way. So his definition of eco-justice is the condition or principle of being just or equitable with respect to ecological sustainability and protection of the environment. Okay, so that makes sense. That's us. As well as social, racial, and economic issues.
It's incredible.
So yeah, everything we do has to make sure that no one is left behind. And so there's so many things where something good has happened for the environment, say, but then it's done on, you know, stolen indigenous people's land without any compensation for those folks.
We
want to see, new energy sources, but then we build right on top of the water source for in a community of color.
Mm.
If you look at where pollution is, it's going to be where the lower income people live or in black communities.
Yes.
So truth be told, our faith communities still are primarily white faith communities. We need to wake up to that and own our own our own racism and our own ignorance of how to really be an eco-justice group. So we're learners, not educators. We are learning.
That's incredible. Well, the best educators are learners. That we keep learning. There's never an end to what we are learning in this life. I really think that's very interdependent. That is an interdependent web of life perspective right there. When every aspect of what you're trying to do takes into consideration justice for all. That's beautiful. I think that's wonderful. I often think that what you said is true. We want to have electric cars, for instance, but the batteries that we make those electric cars with come from somewhere. And those places often are mined heavily for the elements needed to make those batteries. So a lot of things go into consideration when you're attempting this type of justice that includes everyone. I love it. That's a very, very thoughtful foundation that you have.
Yeah, and you know, that's, in hindsight, I can see that that's probably why we paid so much attention in our first 2 years to faith and science. So in 2017, 2018, 2019, all of our educational series were on a combination of faith and science, working like with the Woods Hole Research Center.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil Duffy from there was really concerned about joining with us, as is the Center for Coastal Studies. So it's an education to make sure that we're relying on science. We're not trying to become scientists. It's rather overwhelming,
mm-hmm.
but we need to partner.
I love it. I love the marriage of science and faith. I hear that you're saying two things here, that you really have a twofold mission, of one of education and the other of action. And could you speak a little more about either one of those, what you're doing right now in those two areas?
Yes. Interestingly, we've leaned more heavily into action, because after 2015's initiation into the Paris Climate Accord, everyone in a variety of faith communities was so interested in getting involved with helping and reducing our carbon footprints, or getting solar on the rooftops of our faith communities or our own homes. And so there's a lot of sustainable living that people cared about, that faith community members cared about. So we jumped right in with how to reduce your carbon footprint, how to get energy audits from Cape Light Compact, like action stuff.
Yes.
And now 10 or 11 of our communities have solar on their rooftops of their buildings.
Yep, we have it here.
Yes, they're beautiful. They're beautiful here.
Yes.
So a lot of action is taking place and needs to be taken place, like divesting church investments out of fossil fuel resources. So action is something we share every month when we get together. We share, what are you doing? What's best practices? What have you learned? That's very energizing to people.
Wonderful.
But the other piece of it, the inner work, for me, it's contemplation. Somebody else would call it meditation. Somebody else would call it just walking in nature and being in beauty. We have to do something that's very reflective and introspective, because for one, all of this is so overwhelming, and just speaking personally, it brings up a lot of grief.
Yes.
So how do you handle living in a grieving state, anticipating it for the rest of my life and my grandchildren's life and beyond? It's really quite difficult. So thank God for faith, of whatever way that is for anyone, to be able to ground, to center, to deepen, and really be true to what you feel called to be before you do anything.
Yes. I love the idea of meditating in nature, of walking. We have a walking in the spirit on Sunday afternoons. And the sacred feeling that I get from being in nature, it really fills my soul. I've always felt all of my healing has happened in nature, on the beach or in the forest. And so I would like to read something now from a scientist, because the marriage of science and faith, I think, is very important for us, especially us right here now, and this podcast, God and Nature. So I would like to read a famous quote from Albert Einstein, who says, "A human being is a part of the whole, called by us universe, a part limited in time and space. He experiences himself, his thoughts and feelings, as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion, to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its beauty." Albert Einstein. Isn't that amazing? That pretty much for me says it all. How do we escape from this optical delusion of consciousness? Widening our compassion.
Oh, that's so beautifully said. And it's so amazing that Albert Einstein is the one who said that. And in FCEN, we listen a lot to Thomas Berry, mm-hmm. who's much more recent than that, but when you realize we have known about these things as a people for a long, long time, and yet the delusion keeps our eyes blinded, you know, to the reality of this interdependence and the need for compassion to all beings, not just human beings, and especially not just to economic means. You know, do you hear how when people talk about the economy, they say, oh, the economy's suffering, or, oh, we need to help the economy.
Right.
And it's like so much compassion for the economy. And it's like, how about compassion for marine life? How about compassion for trees?
Yeah.
How about compassion for, you know, people of color and communities that are suffering under the weight? What about the ocean or the island communities around the world that are suffering because of our carbon, you know, emissions?
Yeah.
So our compassion needs to have that delusion stripped from our eyes.
Yeah. And it needs to embrace the whole of creation, all of nature and its beauty. I think it was Costa Rica that made the tree a living being. The tree has the same rights as a human being.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And there are several countries now that the animal populations, you know, have rights. You know, they have the right to be here just as much as we do. We don't own the planet, you know. We're part of an interdependent ecosystem.
Yes.
And that's why I like the idea of eco-justice. Is there anything more you can tell me about how do we create awareness around eco-justice?
Yeah, you know, I think we have a unique opportunity on Cape Cod and the islands to do that because we so much relate to this little spigot sticking out from, you know, the coast. We are a unique ecological environment, and we can be, and we'd have to be, we can become a unique gift to the rest of the country and the world by really modeling eco-justice.
Wow.
You know, there's young people who have come here from other countries, you know, scientists and all saying, oh my God, the things you guys could do here, you could show the rest of the world. Like when people drive across that bridge, they could know this is different. These people don't leave their trash along Highway 6. Not true today.
I wish that were true.
I wish that were true, yeah. You know, just think of the number of things if each person just joined with others, because you cannot do this alone. But if we could join with others, whether it's just our whoever we live with, our family, our church, our faith community, our town, a lot of town efforts are really good. We can do so much within our environment to say, okay, we have, say for example, we have only so much land here. How much of it has been developed? Well, about 40% has already been developed. How much is totally protected, like the Cape Cod seashore, thank God, you know? So we have almost 40% protected.
Excellent.
There should be 50% across, like on average across the country. So we really should probably have 60% protected. But what about that remaining 20%? You know, how can we make sure that we understand the needs of that land and don't treat it like as a resource that we can exploit? That would be a big shift.
Mm-hmm.
So a fundamental eco-justice move that we can all make is to start witnessing the beauty of whatever undisturbed natural marshes, grassland, you know, beaches, forests that you walk in. Witness it, love it, and then partner with other people to help protect it.
Yes.
Renew it, you know, if it's disturbed and wounded.
Yeah,
wear
a big jacket when you go down for a walk because you put all the plastic in your pockets when you're walking on the beach.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, that's extraordinary, Susan. You are really inspiring me this morning because I really feel the same way. I never looked at it quite that way, but to be a model for eco-justice for the country and the world, we have a very unique ecosystem here. And we have to protect it or it won't remain the same. The sacred beauty that is all around us is something we cherish. And I feel like you're speaking to my heart now, saying that we really can not only take care of Cape Cod, but that can be a model for others. Is there some ways that we're doing that already?
Boy, there sure are. And I'm glad that you asked me that. So without FCN taking credit for any of that, there are things like the Pleasant Bay, I don't know if it's the Boating Association or what it is, through Mon Cochran, a retired educator that has helped get the funding for an educational boat that is totally run by solar batteries, by solar panels. And they take students from on Cape and off Cape around Pleasant Bay and teach them about the ecology, you know, of the area. So that's and that took a lot of money to pull off this mm-hmm. big pontoon boat kind of thing. So that's, you know, that's one thing. Also, a lot of the faith communities, this is faith community oriented, a lot of the faith communities have worked with Cape Light Compact, which is a fantastic organization.
Yes, they are.
That we all have, by default, we all get our electricity through them unless we choose not to. And all of that energy that we get from them is renewable, 100% renewable, but not necessarily drawn from the region.
Mm-hmm.
But Cape Light Compact does energy audits in our churches, church buildings, spiritual centers, homes, businesses, and a lot of it is for free. And in fact, little advertisement, if anybody has not done an energy audit yet, you can do them every year. But this is definitely the year to do it because they can still give you free LED lights for your whole house.
Fantastic.
And after this year, they won't be able to. But anyways, groups working with Cape Light Compact can then educate their community about how to tap into their services even more. So there is that. And then there are APCC, Association for the Preservation of Cape Cod, is also a member of the Cape Cod Climate Change Collaborative. And their newsletter this year under their director, Andrew Gottlieb, is an amazing source of information to learn how to protect the waterways, the ponds. They do a lot of scientific research on the ponds.
And what's that organization again?
So APCC.org, I believe.
Okay.
So Association Excellent. For the Preservation
of Cape Cod.
Of Cape Cod.
And the other one that folks can go to is CapeCodClimate.org. Is that right?
Yes. So that is because it's Cape Cod Climate Change Collaborative. That's too much for a
right.
website. So we just say CapeCodClimate.org. And you can sign up for our newsletter that comes out every 2 weeks.
Oh, excellent.
On that. So look for the newsletter there.
So how would you get that?
Yeah, if you go on to that website,
yes.
And then click on where it says join our newsletter.
Okay.
You can register for it. It's totally free. It comes out about every 2 weeks. Fran Schofield is an amazing marketing expert who puts that together. And
Fantastic.
It's all local related eco-justice and other, you know, ecological
Excellent.
Information.
So if I go to CapeCodClimate.org and then /faith, I would get all the information about the Faith Community's environmental network. Is that right?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. Good. You're plugging for me. Thank you so much.
Just remember to put in the word faith.
Yep. /faith. And then you'll see our 35 members. You'll be able to join us. We're really looking for every faith community of any sort, no matter how small, large, or organized, or just informal, to join with us because we're not meant to do this work alone.
Right.
And we can help anyone. It's totally a volunteer-free network that can help folks get started.
That is fantastic. That was one of my questions, was how do we get involved? So if we go to the website and CapeCodClimate.org/faith, and we can connect with you and join the meetings. Can anybody join your meetings?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the simplest thing is to go to that website.
Okay.
And then you'll see how you can say contact FCEN, and that will send an email to FCEN@CapeCodClimate.org.
Okay, perfect.
And that's me.
That's you.
So Susan, they'll get to talk to Susan Starkey on email, and I will invite them to our meetings, which are on the third Thursday from 1 to 3
Great.
Each month, except for the summer. We take the summer off so we can be out witnessing beauty and
yes,
nature.
Yes, absolutely. So, Susan, I'm so grateful that you were here today, and we're going to have to wrap up our time together. I want everyone to know that they are welcome to join the Faith Communities Environmental Network. And I would also like everyone to know that this is something that's embedded in the soul of all of us. No matter who we are, what our background is, we are connected to the earth. No matter what our beliefs are, we need everything that comes from the earth, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food that we grow, and we need each other. I would like to read a quote from a wonderful Native American called Black Elk. And Black Elk, he had the philosophy that in order to have world peace, that you must find the first peace. So as a self-proclaimed contemplative as you are, and talking about that inner transformation that needs to occur, I would like to end our time together with this. The first peace, which is most important, is that which comes within the souls of people when they realize their relationship, their oneness with the universe and all its powers, and when they realize that at the center of the universe dwells the Great Spirit, and that this center is really everywhere. It is within each of us. Within each of us, according to Black Elk, is the center of the universe, the Great Spirit, God within. And that's what we teach here at Unity, that God is within you and God is within me, and that God is also within all of nature. So thank you, Susan, for coming here today and giving us a little more information. I hope a lot of people choose to join the Faith Communities Environmental Network and keep Cape Cod a beautiful and thriving ecosystem. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time on A World Powerfully Transformed.
Thank you, each and every one, for tuning in to this special edition of A World Powerfully Transformed, a Unity on Cape Cod podcast. If you would like to support this program or find out more about Unity on Cape Cod and our Sunday services, please visit our website, unityoncapecod.org, or stop by our spiritual center at 147 Walton Ave in Hyannis, Mass. We would love to get to know you. Be blessed and remember to be a blessing. This podcast was made possible in part through a grant from Unity Worldwide Ministries and the Templeton Foundation.